Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Paul, how you doing? Are you all right?
Grand, thanks, Dave.
Great, good. You're there. Okay, Paul Whittington it is. Movies-wise, whatever is new, and I'm not going to say big screen anymore. Tell me what's new.
Three decent films. Two very good, actually, and one you'll probably be particularly interested in, which is this new Netflix documentary about Pelé.
Oh, yeah, I believe it's good. Haven't seen it.
It's very good. Yeah. It streams from sort of, I think, early this week. Wednesday, I think, and it's very interesting because what it does is it kind of connects his career to his country's kind of development in the 50s and 60s, and also a lot of people who remember him play. I vaguely remember him play. I know you do. Talk about how good he was, but a lot of people never saw him play. So it gives them a chance to see that he was rather good at football, Dave.
Is everything black and white?
Yes, except for the 1970 World Cup, the Mexico World Cup. And what it does is it uses that as a framing device. And so it starts at that. And but there are kind of rumors that the junta, the military regime, which took over in the mid 60s, had kind of put pressure on Pelé to come back, because after 1966, when he was basically kicked out of the World Cup in a very cynical fashion and referees did nothing about it. He didn't want to do it again and he was persuaded to, however, and he came back. So it uses that as the framing device. Then it goes back in time to where he was born and, you know, how he grew up and also what a unifying character he became in Brazil, because there was a lot of racism against black Brazilians. And everybody loved him for obvious reasons, and that sort of helped move that on, you know.
Right, indeed. Yeah, the 1970 World Cup. Do you know what's one of the things it's most famous for, which is bizarre? I'll always remember. Bobby Moore stole a necklace.
Yeah, well, tell me about that. What was that about?
Like they had won the World Cup 4 years before that, the only time they ever won it, England in 66. And that wasn't a goal. Anyway, it doesn't matter. 4-2 in extra time. So 4 years later, they went to Mexico to the World Cup and they were kicked out by Gert Muller, who got a hat-trick against them, against England, yes. If I remember rightly. But there was all sorts of shenanigans going on. It was like serious politics involved, as you just said there. But one of the things was that Bobby Moore, the captain of England for West Ham, he was in a shop or something, he stole a necklace, which of course he didn't, and there was major scenes about it. I think he was going to be kicked out of the country and everything. It was
dirty
all bad politics. Dirty business. Pelé is good.
It's great, and one thing it does is it draws politics in, and Pelé has been criticised by some in his country for not, like, he didn't take sides politically. You know, he was a poor boy from a small town, he didn't want to get involved. And the point is made that people compare him to Muhammad Ali, but Muhammad Ali didn't live in a dictatorship, you know, where he risked torture and execution for standing up for what he believed in. So I think that point is well made. Also, you get a chance to see just how good he was. I mean, everybody talks about who the best was, but I don't know, might have been him.
He was always seen as a great, great player, but also as a great, great person.
Yeah, a great, great person and a great unifier within that 1970 story is great, because he was very disenchanted and disjusted with football. He was the first millionaire footballer. He had, his private life was affected by that. But he found in this young team a kind of group, and that's all he wanted to do.
Wait a minute, do you mean Santos or do you mean the Brazilian team?
Well, both, actually, because there's that 1970 team. There's a very, I'm sure you'll watch it, Dave, there's a very touching moment where he's 80 now and I think he had a problem with a hip operation. He's in a wheelchair, but he's still himself. He looks himself and he meets up with old teammates from Santos's club, and it's really touching because you can see what a team meant to him, and that he keeps going. There's no king, there's no this, there's no that. He has managed to hold on to himself in ways that other footballers who came after him, who were called great, did not.
And does Puskas and George Best and Cruyff and Messi and Ronaldo and whoever else there is this week, do they all get mentions in it, or is it that kind of thing?
They get mentioned by me in my review in the paper yesterday. But no, it's not that kind of thing. It's very specifically about Brazilian football, and it talks to those like Rivelino and Jairzinho who are still alive. And actually, Garrincha isn't mentioned, which I found a bit odd. But it just does seem to concentrate on those who can recall that time. And there's some very interesting sort of commentary about the country's society as well. So I think it's really good.
Right, and I presume the save by Gordon Banks is there from the header.
Yeah, there are a couple of saves.
I've seen that a thousand times.
But refreshingly, this is not seen through a British prism, so we don't have to put up with all their nonsense. Yeah. It's about Brazilian football and what made it so special and what made him so special.
Right, indeed. Okay, fair enough. That's called Pelé. It's simply called Pelé. And is it out yet on Netflix?
It's next, let me see, I think it's next Wednesday on Netflix.
Right, I've just been corrected here. It's a bracelet. No, did I say a necklace that he stole? Sorry, Bobby, you stole a bracelet.
Gosh. Who corrected you? That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, what else is there movie-wise, brand new?
I Care a Lot, which is on Prime Video. I don't know if you've seen this.
I have.
Yeah, what did you think?
To be honest, like, I'm looking forward to a movie like that, and I go, yeah, the first half hour, wow, what a bitch. Sorry for using that word, but seriously, she really is brilliant at just being really, I just want her dead.
And, Rosamund Pike, this is, yeah.
Yes, Rosamund Pike.
She's really good in it.
Horrible. Yeah. And then the movie goes, I'll tell you, there's a scene in it which has not given an awful lot away, but you know the way it's in every second movie to do with something or other, to do with bad people. The person is tied to a chair, and then the guy takes out all sorts of implements. Although it doesn't actually happen in this case, of all implements of torture. And if you, unless you tell me, and at that stage, and her reaction, that I was going, okay, this is losing itself a little bit, but I mean, I'll still go with it. And wow, does it go into very strange places? I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, so did I. To be honest, I thought it was very entertaining. I mean, I at no point did I want to stop watching it. Like, it's. I mean, she's this woman called Marla Grace, and apparently this is a real thing.
Is this a real thing? Because it's really strange you should say that, because I just want to say, earlier on we spoke to the director on the programme of Framing Britney Spears, and to be honest, there's so much in
right.
this.
There are parallels.
There really are parallels
there
in
are,
terms of,
are,
can they? Can people really do that in America? Anyway, you better tell us what it is.
Well, apparently in America you can. She's this woman called Marla Grayson, she's a sociopath, actually, there's no doubt about that. And she makes a living out of pushing wealthy, isolated old people into homes on false pretenses, like that they're getting a touch of Alzheimer's or whatever, and in they go. And she then controls their money for them, i.e. drains their personal fortunes and sometimes takes their houses and so on. And apparently it is a thing. It does happen in America. I mean, I don't know to what extent.
I was just going to say to what extent, because there is a thing also that when they go into the old folks' home, nobody's allowed to visit them. That's not true, is it?
Yeah, I cannot say, but I think that it does happen to some extent, hopefully to a very small extent.
Right.
Anyway, she makes a mistake because she targets this wealthy Elwyn called Jennifer Peterson. I shouldn't say Elwyn either, should I? Who's played by Diane Weist. And she makes an error because she is the mother of this reclusive Russian mobster who's played by Peter Dinklage, who I thought was excellent in it, actually.
He's good, Everybody will know him, of course, from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's great. And so he takes this very personally. And the mother's in the home and the money's gone and he wants to know what's going on. And it's about the push and pull. And obviously he's not expecting your woman, Rosamund Pike Carr, to have so much, you know, balls, but she does, and she tries to tack on some idea, some feminist idea, to justify what she's doing, but of course it's nothing to do with that. It's very entertaining. Isa Gonzalez plays her kind of her girlfriend, basically, is the only woman she cares about, which sort of gives the character, let's not say three dimensions, let's say two dimensions. But it's very entertaining. I don't know what, I'm not sure what the point of it all is, to be honest with you, Dave, and I agree with you that it goes to places that you wouldn't have thought it should, but it's a lot of fun. It's very well
made. Well, there was an awful lot of messing with cars and blowing them up and pushing them into rivers, like lots of stuff going on. But actually, I must say, the ending I thought was pretty good, actually. I thought that
How cynical was it going to be? Because it like, the only problem with it is that there are no nice people in this film. Even Diane Weiss's character isn't very nice. There's no nice people.
No, so, but I mean, like, you know, we're with her all the way. My God, when you see what happens to her. Anyway, I Care a Lot is what it's called. Rosamund Pike being really brilliantly nasty, and a judge in it too, who's the laziest judge I've ever come, a moron. Anyway.
Oh, and absolutely. You just want to shake him, don't you?
But you really do.
Prime Video, that's on, and it was released yesterday.
It's also quite long.
It's what?
It's quite long.
It is quite long, but that didn't bother me because it does have a sense of humour and it has, like, it commits.
The last half
hour
goes,
I mean,
100 miles an hour,
It commits to what it's doing.
It does. Yeah. I Care a Lot is what it's called, very
and she
dark
could get
comedy.
Nominated for this, actually, I think.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that, really. Do you think so? Yeah. Okay, I Care a Lot is what that's called. Thumbs up, definitely. Anything else?
The Map of Tiny Perfect Things.
Oh, yeah, right. This is a kind of a thing. Same thing happens all the time. No, I don't know. Yeah, go on. What?
It's you. Yes, you do know. You're right. It's a Groundhog Day type thingy.
Oh, yeah.
and in which this teenager, who's played by Kyle Allen, who's a rather cocky and obnoxious teenager, if you ask me, who he's basically he's doomed to live the same day. He's in a time loop. And he's doomed to live, like we all are at the moment, and he's doomed to live the same day over and over and over. And like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, he hasn't really put it to very good use. And then he meets this girl who's played by Catherine Newton, called Margaret, who it transpires is also trapped in a time loop. The Tiny Perfect Things of the title relates to sort of little beautiful things you can find in the everyday that make their situation bearable. And that's not a stupid idea. That's quite a good idea. And it also, very early on, it's careful to make reference to the fact that it is gutting the plot of Groundhog Day, as other films have. But it has a certain charm to it, and it's kind of funny, and it's not that bad.
Okay, so that's a thumbs up for all of them, actually. Pele, definitely. I care a lot. I care a lot as well. And the Map of Tiny Perfect Things as well, a thumbs up. Anything else you've been watching, not watching? So I saw The Silk Road this week.
Oh, yes. Which is, what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's such a fascinating story. I enjoyed it immensely. Could it have been made better? I think it probably could, but it's very interesting stuff, all right. I watched the final one of The Lady in the Veil, all four of them. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, you're
the woman with the car in the 80s, brilliant. And Frank Zappa. I saw Zappa, the documentary.
Oh, yeah, what's that like?
Well, I think it's great. You know, I mean, like, I wouldn't have been the number one Zappa fan in the world, but I would have been the number two. Like, I mean, I would have been there, you know. I think he's brilliant. And I actually saw him live once, which is bizarre.
Did you?
Yeah, so I'm in
Germany. Were you a Zappa man or a Beefheart man?
Funny you should say that, because they're both in it in so many ways, and like, not least the fact that even when they go into the guy who does all the album covers, and of course I didn't realise he did Trout Mask Replica as well as doing the Zappa albums and all that. Yeah, so it's good. It's very good. Yeah, it has to be seen.
Do you remember? There's a Captain Beefheart album called Ice Cream for Crows.
Ice Cream for Crow. Yeah, that was about 1980-81 direction. Yeah,
I thought that was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All I know about Frank Zappa.
Really,
is Captain Beefheart.
All right, I see. Okay. Hot Rats is pretty good. All right, listen, good man, Paul. That's it. Is there anything else I should be watching? No?
Not for me.
Ireland's Fattest Family, are you watching that?
Watching reruns of The Good Wife.
The reruns of The Good Wife. Okay, well, I'll leave it at that because I haven't seen that. So listen, Paul, good man, Paul Whittington from the Indo. Thanks a million,
Dave.
Paul. Good luck. Take it easy. Okay.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.